To my amazing wife of 26 years, Shelley, and to our three incredible children, Nikki, Gigi, and Nate. Prologue. Leading from the Heart. The book you are listening to contains my thoughts and reflections on life and leadership. It is a compendium of what I've learned in more than a quarter century of coaching, a real-life leadership manual that offers insights and information into what we did in the 2014 season that culminated in winning the first-ever college football playoff national championship. The defining characteristic of every championship team is leadership. Leadership isn't a difference maker, it is the difference maker. Talent will get you about 7 or 8 wins. Discipline pushes it to 9 wins, maybe. But when you add leadership, that's when magic happens. I've come to learn that leadership is not automatically granted to you because of your position or your salary or the size of your office. Leadership is influence based on trust that you have earned. A leader is not someone who declares what he wants and then gets angry when he doesn't get it. A true leader is someone who is going someplace and taking people with him. A catalyst for elite performance who enables people to achieve things they wouldn't achieve on their own. A leader is someone who earns trust, sets a clear standard, and then equips and inspires people to meet that standard. I've learned that talent cannot replace leadership. There is a long line of teams full of talented players and coaches who fail to produce results equal to their talent. Leaders take teams beyond talent to a place they likely thought was unreachable. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens because coaches and players are willing to respond to the everyday challenge of leadership. Nothing can stop the team that harnesses the power of leadership. Nothing can help the team that doesn't. Over the years, I have grown as a leader. I've made mistakes, and I've learned from those mistakes. I've had great mentors in men such as Earl Bruce, Lou Holtz, Sonny Lubick, and Bob Davey, and the lessons I've learned from them I carry with me to this day. To me, it's all about getting better. I am a long, long way from perfect, but I will put my passion for self-improvement next to anybody's. Maybe the only thing that rivals that in my makeup is the distaste I have for losing. It has been that way since I was a kid in Northeast Ohio, where one of my early lessons was that 8 miles is a very long way to run. It's longer still if you are wearing a full baseball uniform and you've completely let your team down, losing a ball game because your bat never left your shoulder. I had to run. I had to do something. I just stood there with the game on the line, star shortstop turned statue, as useless as a freighter stuck on the shoals of nearby Lake Erie. This was my senior year at St. John High School in my hometown of Ashtabula. It was early May 1982, a beautiful spring day until the end of it. I was about to get drafted by the Atlanta Braves, sign for a whopping $13,000 bonus, and go off to play a couple of forgettable years of professional baseball. But for the moment, I was still a St. John Herald, with the tying and winning runs on base in a one-run game against our arch rival, Harbor High School. I love rivalry games. I loved them then and might love them even more now. No regular season game on the Ohio State football schedule is bigger than when we play that team up north. It begins with M, but Woody Hayes taught us never to say the name around Columbus. The Harbor pitcher was a kid named John Light. He was good. He threw hard and had a great knuckleball. There were 2 outs in the bottom of the 7th inning. It was all on me, just the way I liked it. I got behind in the count, and on a 2-2 pitch, I knew that John Light was coming with a knuckleball or curve. He'd never come right at me, not in this spot. Except this time, he did, a fastball down the middle, belt high, over the heart of the plate. It might as well have had a little sign on it that said, "Crush me." No kidding, it was that fat. But I never budged, I just froze. The ump rang me up, and the pitch was so perfect I couldn't even turn around and say, "Are you kidding me?" The ump would have told me to